Really quickly, I don't really like to talk about price on these things, right? I'd rather talk about tech, innovation, community building. But I want to know, did anybody catch that shimmer dip the other day? It dipped down to around, I don't know if anybody was watching, but it
Dude.
dipped down to just around 3 cents.
I was in the gym watching Price as I do and literally almost pissed my pants when I saw it. I was so mad that I wasn't home to get it, man. But I think a lot of people did.
Oh.
And in fact, I think we're over right now where we were. Or no, actually, we're right back where we were. Literally, the whole thing got eaten up. It was just one person. I think somebody went on FinEx and sold like a half million or something. But they market sold.
The fools. Yeah, some absolute.
Who market sells with a half a million? I just don't get it.
So some absolute paper-handed Chad lad dumped. But like Austin said, it was quickly eaten back up. I personally missed it. I dream about those moments, and I totally missed it. I don't even know what to say. But for those of you that did get it, congratulations, because it was eaten up quickly by a bunch of hungry fellows. That's it. Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that I was pulling up Deck Screener right as you were talking about this because I wanted to take a look. And if you type in Shimmer on Deck Screener, it's just a coin called Shimmer Skin. So I guess there's not any Rap Shimmer elsewhere yet. But yeah, I would be careful using the ticker SMR on Deck Screener.
Fair enough. Great point. Yeah, guys, look out for that. I was actually, so I was on Twitter looking at like just a bunch of posts about Shimmer and what's been going on in the community lately, and I'm seeing so many fake accounts, Firefly wallet fake accounts that are commenting on people's posts saying, like if you need help, like the same MetaMask scam. So you guys definitely be vigilant when you're out.
Yeah, if anybody needs a hand, yeah, just send me your private key to your Firefly wallet and I'll get you sorted out.
Same.
Do not do that. Don't do
Don't
that.
do that. Send it. Yeah,
Yeah.
don't. Right. So really, one more thing. Just before we get into like the meat and the nitty gritty of what's been going on this past week in Shimmer, I gotta ask the panel and anybody else listening, of course. You're on Twitter, so I assume that you've seen the hype around friend tech right now. Friend.tech. Where can I short all you losers at? Is that is anybody on the panel using friend tech? I know Corval, our another our Blockbyte's friend. He's on friend tech. Alpha Road, JD, Dracula, Austin. Are you guys using friend tech?
No, sir. Thank you.
No.
Have you seen today there was news that they leaked over 100K addresses and linked to the Twitter accounts?
Jeez.
Yeah.
OMG.
People were warning about this stuff, but yeah, nobody wanted to listen.
Right. Well, nothing too, no endorsement, not talking bad about them. I'm personally not into it. Again, this is Mikey for his Losh. But it just seems, do you guys remember BitClout back in like 2021? It just seems like another BitClout thing.
I think they even like not forked it, but they used BitCloud as a background, as a builder block on it. So it's and there was another one that they had already the founders of Frentech. They had like one soft rug pull before the Frentech. So be careful out there. In short.
That's right. Be careful, everybody. All right, so. Oh, go
Yeah,
ahead, Dracula.
I'm actually on there. No, I was just gonna say I'm actually on there. But I think it's an interesting experiment. I don't know. It's the app itself is like, people are saying, oh, like this is gonna onboard, so many people and celebrities, and I don't know. The app itself is like super clunky. Obviously, like even like myself who like was in the development world, it was like some stuff where it was just like what does this do? Like what the, you know, like you have your chat and it's like people can like write to you on your chat, but you write on your chat and everybody can see it when you respond, even though other people are like writing you questions that other people can't see. Yeah, you know, it's just, it's experimental, but I think it's got a long way before it would actually do something like, you know, oh, like onboard so many people or do this or that. But, yeah, I mean, and of course, obviously when you were giving your permissions, I mean, I went through it. It was a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff that people probably aren't a fan of. I wasn't super worried about it because I pretty much just have a wallet I use for this kind of stuff. But yeah, it's, you know, I guess we'll see what happens with it. You know, they got that Paradigm funding. So that's a big part of the reason that people are like aping and going crazy on it. But yeah, I kind of have a feeling in my gut it'll be one of those things where like in a couple weeks you probably won't hear much about it, but right, we'll
just
see.
Just the crypto narrative. I already feel bad enough about myself where I don't need other people telling me what my value is worth on social media, you know? But that's just my own insecurities. There are plenty of people out there that are making a lot of money right now, I'm sure. And to address Wally's comment, Mikey commenting on people in FriendTech, that WorldCoin is cool, right? WorldCoin is my favorite coin in the entire world. Coin. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, Wally. So now let's get into it, guys. Let's talk about one of our first topics for the Shimmer space. And again, open forum. Anybody come up and talk. But the first thing that I'd like to talk about, and would love to hear from the panel, is Nakama Labs put out a really cool tweet the other day. I love seeing this type of stuff. They said that, boom, with the firecracker emoji, we've just unleashed a spam attack on Shimmer EVM. ShimmerNet's progress is incredible, and the network is significantly more stable. We carry out more testing and encourage all devs to join us in battle testing the network. Just really quickly, spam attack is an annoying little thing that creates undesirable extra load on a network, right? Spam attacks can be malicious, used as part of a DDoS, a distributed denial of service attack. Solana has had a few of those. Spam attacks can be unintentional. We saw this bigly with DeFi Kingdoms on the Harmony blockchain, where a massive influx of users really quickly rendered the chain virtually unusable. Or they can be performance tests by curious tinkers. This tinker is Nakama Labs this time. I love it. And this is what the testnet is for. Right, Austin? We want this. We want these developers testing.
Which Austin, you're going to have to specify, man. We got two Austins on here now.
Oh, I'm going to call you Austin, and I'm going to call Austin Bandeloff.
Bingo. So you know what I like seeing about this? And obviously, like, you guys should know that Nakama, if you don't know, you should. Nakama is one of the biggest development teams that's currently building on Shimmer. They're putting some of the most crucial infrastructure in place, along with a lot of other wonderful teams that are building on Shimmer as well. But I like seeing the spam attack being launched, I'm assuming in coordination with the IOTA Foundation. Reason being, we've got a product that's ready to be spammed, right? Let's put the load on. Let's stress test it. Let's see how it's going to perform under pressure, because the day is going to come when, you know, a million transactions a day is commonplace. I can assure you the day will come. And so I love seeing like stuff like this happen. And it's just one step closer to getting launched. And I would encourage everyone to pop into the IOTA Discord and just search Dom's name, or like Philo, or, you know, one of the guys from the IOTA Foundation, and just like read, you know, some of his posts when he pops through, and he'll give you kind of the tone, will give you a good idea of where they're at development wise. And we're real close.
Absolutely. Seeing these spam attacks just gets me excited, you know, because that's what's going to happen once EVM goes live. It will get spammed.
And well, so, no, it won't. It won't. Well, the reason it won't is because there's fees, and it would be financially unfeasible to spam attack the network. That's the point. You can spam attack it now, but you wouldn't do it when it's live because of the fees.
Well, it happens. It happens anyways, though, on all mainnets everywhere. It's just something that happens. But Nakama Labs seems smitten by the improvements so far on the Shimmer EVM. And, you know, if Nakama Labs says they love it, that's good enough for me. What do you think, Bandalov? How's the Shimmer EVM testnet been so far?
Well, I think, you know, from the core projects that have actually launched, they have run into their smaller issues. And I think that that's where a lot of the, like, redundancy comes in. And we've seen the team try and go back and forth, trying to figure out, you know, how to move step by step forward. But for the most part, it seems like things are going great. I mean, I know it's taken a long time, but I always stress, it's better to take a long time in this race, especially when market conditions are the way that they are, so that we have a better opportunity to launch with a very stable network. And, you know, if we launch with a stable network, then there's less opportunity for, I guess, some, like, not as common attacks, or, you know, we just kind of limit the risks of, you know, well, different risks around the space that a lot of other networks face. And you don't want to launch a network that's not ready to be launched. It's just counterintuitive to do so. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's overall, it's going pretty well. I just recently got back from a vacation where I was with family. So I have not really been here the last week or so, but I do think that, you know, there's been some progress, significant progress made in the last couple of days. So, yeah.
I love it. Dracula, you gave a little hand wave. Did you want to say something, sir?
Oh, I was waving to Austin as you were passing it off to him. But yeah, I mean, pretty much the same sentiment, though. You know, I had gotten some messages over the weekend from someone in the Nakama team. And yeah, the report was very positive, just saying that the recent upgrades have made a huge difference on the network. And yeah, I mean, it was a good stress test for sure.
100%.
Another thing that I can add, which I haven't really said before, but the, like, when we are reaching out to some of the more established teams inside of the crypto space, and we've definitely picked up in doing so recently as we've become closer to launch, we've gotten a lot of good feedback, and there has not really been, I don't think there's been any real negative context that has come out of any of these conversations. Whereas, you know, they, like, a lot of times these projects are, like, for example, these, like, bridge providers, this is one of the big areas we're focusing on, you know, they're being approached by so many different teams and networks, and it's been kind of a breath of fresh air for them to see the tech stack that we are offering. And the, I mean, while there are a little adjustments that have to be made from our network, we've definitely seen a lot of positive responses from these projects. And that's, from the BD side, I think that's a very telling side or sign that, you know, things are really starting to shape up for us.
Awesome. Alpha Row, JD, any thoughts on the stress test for the Shimmer EVM before we go to the next topic?
No, I think it was great that Deeper and Nakama Labs have done that. I think, you know, people think that there'll be this day where, you know, all of a sudden IOTA Foundation has this, like, day planned in their head of, you know, whatever, you know, let's just say October 1st is the day that EVM is going to go live. And I think that's just not realistic with tech. And me coming as a project manager coming from oil and gas, it is interesting where, like, you could have everything planned out, everything tested in the test environment. And then when you go public with tech, I mean, you just can't find or test every single situation. But when you go live, it gets tested. And we saw this with the Shimmer C campaign previously. But it, I mean, you know, from what I've seen, some really good remarks. And then even other dApps are talking about they want a stress test too. So, you know, I'm hoping to see that now it's going to become community builders even stress test. So it won't just be Deeper themselves, but it was everyone come together as well as community. I remember we used to do these, like, spam parties back in the day where we would just spam the network. So, and I love seeing it now because back in the day, a couple of years ago, it would break the network at a certain point. But now these spam parties go on to these stress tests and it just performs, which is just beautiful to see and beautiful to see how far it's come.
Spam parties, sound amazing. I think we should run one up. I'll bring the spam. You guys bring whatever you want to bring. Moving on to the whatever. They can't all be winners. Again, we're sticking with the Nakama Labs vein. They've had a lot going on lately. Some really cool things happening that just overall again are good for the Shimmer EVM as a whole. Something else that Nakama Labs, Deeper Finance, on August 20th, they integrated Pyth Network. I think it's Pyth. It might be Pyth. I'm pretty sure it's Pyth, which is an oracle. And this significant milestone, they went on to say, enhances accurate price feeds for the DeFi application and ensures users access reliable, real-time price information. Now, see, I was confused because when I saw Deeper Finance was integrating oracles, I thought I was going to be able to broadcast into the Matrix and meet a very nice old woman that knows my future but won't tell me about it and offer me candy. Not so, apparently. Now, it seems like an obvious answer to a dumb question, but Dracula, just how important are oracles to DeFi protocols and its users?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy important, especially for, you know, protocols that have liquidations, you know, margin, that kind of stuff. And, you know, the hard part is, luckily, there are, you know, more options now. But, you know, it's pretty well known that it can be difficult to, you know, you can't just kind of like hit up Chainlink and they'll say, okay, we'll do it. They're very like, they want to like monitor, you know, since there are so many chains, they want to like monitor your network. You know, they want to like see, you know, how many people are like bridging in. They want to see all this stuff before they kind of even make a decision. And then when they do show up, sometimes it's just kind of like, bam, we're here. So it is kind of nice now that there are like several providers that are solid. And, you know, when you're launching, you know, a new project like Shimmer, I mean, you know, having like a strong Oracle partner coming out is like that's a very good thing. Because, you know, being involved in other chains, like kind of earlier on in the start, that's usually like a very like large, like factor as far as like chaos, like everybody's just kind of freaking out. Like, what's everybody using? Like, how are we getting feeds, all that stuff. So, yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about that team. And, yeah, I mean, it was just a very good move to, kind of just go ahead and bring someone in that could, you know, partner up with a bunch of the protocols. So yeah, super important and, yeah, major that is already, you know, being developed.
100%. Bandolf, go ahead. And then Austin, I want to hear your take about, you know, like just how important Oracle integration is on Shimmer, but go ahead, Bandolf. I saw you unmuted yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, Nakama has really taken the lead in terms of connecting with the Pyth team, and they've been awesome since we actually, partnered with them a couple months ago. Like, it's been a one, they fill a gap that we needed to fill. And like Dracula was saying, there is no real, I mean, it is a difficult task to try and onboard, Chain be that partner, at least for now. I think once the network is live for an extended period of time and, you know, they can see some activity there, we will have a better opportunity to. There still is a pretty large integration cost associated with Chainlink. They're on their high horse, I would say. But what we've done a lot of digging on our side and just tried to find out which Oracle providers are the ones that would be the best alternatives. And there's a bunch that offer different, like, strategies or, I guess, techniques, you could say. And Pyth, and then, you know, we actually want to onboard another one as well, an additional, because as Dracula was saying, wherever there's opportunity for liquidations, there's a need to have accurate price data, and having it from two sources rather than one is a much more significant, it's just a better thing to have than, you know, a single point of failure. So what we're really working on now is onboarding that second provider, and, you know, hopefully that happens in the near future. But while it's not a necessity, I think it's a pretty big value add to the ecosystem. But, you know, having Oracles is essential.
That's a great point. Bring it on more. Austin, Block Bytes, really quick, or not really quickly, take your time, buddy. But what do you think, man? Like huge, right? Like I saw that news and I was like, oh, that's freaking dope.
Well, I think so. There's a lot of intricacies that I think people may or may not realize about oracles. The first thing is, why is an oracle necessary? I mean, there's a lot of different ways that you can pull price feeds, but if you pull an inaccurate or a manipulatable price feed, it opens up your protocol to exploits, right? Like if somebody's using a TWAP price feed, for example, well, that's going to be insufficient for something like Deeper, because a TWAP, which is a time-weighted average price, can be manipulated. Or if you're just pulling a straight price from, let's say, a DEX, for example, right? If somebody were to go on and manipulate the price on that DEX, then they have a way of exploiting you. And so it's really important that you have really solid Oracle infrastructure. The problem with something like Chainlink is they're not just going to like show up and provide oracles for every token on the network. They only want to work with tokens that have over a certain amount of volume per day. You have to have like two or three, I think, different centralized exchange listings. And if you actually get to that point, there's still no guarantee that they're going to go ahead and integrate an oracle. So like if we see Chainlink on Shimmer, when we do, they're going to have oracles for like BTC, for ETH, you know, for Shimmer token, once we get the volume there, for IOTA. But they're not going to cover, you know, some of your other more obscure tokens that eventually the DeFi ecosystem is going to need to have accurate price feeds right for. And that's a huge underserved market. And that's where, you know, other Oracle providers like Pith, like Dia Data will come in, who can show up and, you know, provide accurate price feeds for these, which are going to be super important. And so, you know, I mean, I didn't like run outside and scream at the sun how excited I was that we had an Oracle provider, but it's one of those things that like we couldn't launch without it. So, you know, thank God they exist. Like Bandaloff said, I hope we have some other competitive Oracle providers show up as well in the interim, so that we have, you know, a ton of different options for developers to use.
Big time. Thank you, Austin. That was great. Also, subtle plug really quickly. Tomorrow, Block Bytes is doing a DeFi Tuesday where hopefully we will have an Oracle provider on to talk about oracles and really kind of like do a deep dive in what they are, why they exist, why they need to exist. But so I'd like to move on to our next topic real quick, which Alpha Row, I'm so glad you're here, man, because I do have some awesome questions. The next topic is the Ape DAO, IOTA Apes, has partnered with Nakama Labs. Another Nakama thing, but again, they're doing it, man. And I've got a couple of points talking about how this partnership is going to work. But Alpha Row, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit about that real quick. Nakama Labs, Ape DAO, combining, joining forces.
Yes, sir. So Copy reached out to us, to me, and he said we should do something because, as you may know or may not, but I will tell it anyway. So we were trying to position Ape DAO as some kind of a truth pillar in the whole ecosystem. I know that in the beginning we advertised as the biggest rug pull project on IOTA and everything, but all of that was, you know, promotion, make some noise about it, but the single sole purpose of Ape DAO was always to bring the education to the community, because as you already know, IOTA community is not really knowledgeable in DeFi, or at least majority of the community is not. So, you know, we are trying to position ourselves as a truth pillar, to always be objective in all of the protocols, you know, studying tokenomics of different projects and everything. And also we have our own small treasury, which we can all decide, all the holders of our NFTs can decide where to deploy this treasury in order to, you know, to grow it, to earn some yield on top of it, and that kind of stuff. So with Nakama, it was pretty easy. because Nakama, as well as ApeDAO, you know, we are here to stay in the ecosystem, in the Shimmer and IOTA ecosystem, and we are mainly focused on IOTA and Shimmer and DeFi in general, right? So it was quite easy, you know, to align our goals and, you know, try to provide some kind of benefit for both the community of Nakama and ApeDAO. So our three main like goals that we will have in our partnership would be education for both of the communities. So we would have a private Discord sessions explaining, you know, all the good things and bad things, all the, you know, degen yield part of the using their apps, but also the risks, you know, about what can happen, you know, exactly the thing with, for example, the thing with oracles, you know, price oracles and everything, you know, what can happen? Why is it needed, you know, to have a price oracle? Actually explaining, you know, if you provide, I don't know, Shimmer token to lend it to the platform, why is it important that the price is real, right? And what's the goal of like having good liquidity for that Shimmer token so the price can be stable enough? Even if you have the oracle, if there is not much liquidity, the price can still, you know, go drastically up or down, right? So that kind of stuff will be our focus for the education. Then we will have, you know, collaborative stuff for marketing, you know, and generally trying to strengthen the whole ecosystem by collaborating with other projects, you know, in together. So we have a team that is skilled. Nakama has, you know, superstars in DeFi. So why not combine this and do some kind of collaborative empowerment to this whole ecosystem? And then third, last but not least, right, that would be earning yield by using their apps. So we will for sure use some of their apps to actually utilize and deploy our treasury in order to build an income stream, right, for the DAO. So we have something that is sustainable. So not only like printing a token or, you know, doing the treasury majority in the native token. So we opted in for the sustainable way of doing things in ApeDAO. So we will try to, with whatever we have in the treasury, we will try to, you know, earn something that is more sustainable. So we stay here for the long term. So we don't do some kind of degen stuff and everything. But yeah, that's the TLDR of the partnership, right?
Right. No, thank you very much. I'm really glad you're here. So like the three pillars, just to sum up the partnership real quick, because I do want to ask the panel just a little bit about the first two, DeFi education, right? Mm-hmm. Shout out to Nakama's recent tutorials, by the way, which have been fantastic. If you guys haven't seen them yet, they talk about, they have a tokenomics 101. They have another one. It's hashtag DeFi investor if you guys want to check it out. It's very, very cool. The second one, collaborative empowerment. In the Nakama's Medium post about the partnership, they say that unlocking the success to Web3 hinges on forging strategic partnerships. And in that vein, ApeDAO and Nakama will be leveraging their combined knowledge and expertise for mutual advantage. JD, that's huge, right? Like forming partnerships in Web3, like, are you stoked for this partnership? And you know, like, how important is education for DeFi in the Shimmer ecosystem? And then also these projects collaborating together.
Yeah, I mean, super huge. I've basically just focused on IOTA and Shimmer for the last 5 years, and I've never even really played in any DeFi playground. And that Shimmer's campaign was awesome. I mean, it was awesome to, you know, one, have it to where I can just play around with it. Even right now, it's still, the testnet's still open. You can still get on deeper and, you know, like, wow, okay, I've got some extra shimmer sitting around. I can just provide it as a supply as a, from a lender side of, for liquidity. And then I get, you know, deeper tokens, like, friggin' awesome. I think going through the different dApps and actually just being able to like do something with my tokens is awesome. And then on top of that, you know, is seeing like ApeDAO partnering and all different dApps partnering. So, you know, you can start kind of integrating and collaborating and, you know, everything's working together and it's just fun. But at the same time, it is risky. I mean, it is DeFi. You can lose money. So I think, you know, I'm a big, strong proponent of just education, having the education. You know, everyone should start. If you don't have the education and you don't have the experience, and everyone should start, you know, it's the old adage of, you know, what you're investing, you could lose. Would you still be happy if you lost, you know, what you put in? So I think until people have, in our community especially, has all the education, all the experience, they should just be a little careful. But this is exactly what we need. We need to learn. We need to learn as a community, and seeing interoperable applications like Shimmer C and then Deeper and then ApeDAO. I mean, and this is just the beginning. Like once it, people realize that Shimmer Network works, and then, you know, we're actually earning yield and we're actually earning income on our assets rather than just sitting there, whole new doors are going to open up. And then, you know, the GameFi will come and all the other applications will come and some of the GMX stuff. And it's going to get, it's going to get wild for sure.
100%. We'll be talking a little bit about GameFi a little later. Thank you, JD. That was fantastic. So, and that third pillar, right? So the first pillar was DeFi education with this partnership. Second pillar was collaborative empowerment. Third pillar, which I think is my favorite, it's very interesting, which was the DeFi yield. And to be honest with you, I'm not entirely sure how that works, but maybe someone with more knowledge can help me out. So maybe Austin, Alpha Road, jump in as well. Deploying treasuries such as ApeDAO within a protocol like Deeper Finance can achieve yield. Can you elaborate a little bit on that, Alpha Row or Austin from BlockBytes?
Yeah, happy to take that one. So ApeDAO has a treasury that we 100% funded with the NFTs that we sold in the beginning. And from the beginning, the idea was, you know, to earn some DeFi yield with this treasury so we can create a stable income stream, right? So now that we have treasury, we hold it majorly in IOTA and Shimmer token, right? So we are looking to deploy this part, like the parts of treasury, to different dApps. So one of them is going to be Deeper, second one is going to be Virtue. So each of these apps have their own tokenomics, they have their own mechanics and everything, right? That unlock potential to DeFi yield. So we will provide liquidity to Deeper and to Virtue. And then in return, we can borrow some tokens, right, against our collateral. And then we can earn yield on providing this liquidity, right? And sometimes even on borrowing side, but this depends on the incentives set by the protocol itself, right? So for me personally, I think Virtue is quite nice application that we will have. And I'm happy that Nakama and Kapi decided to actually bring this to Shimmer ecosystem, because this not only, like JD mentioned, it's not only bringing yield to the ecosystem, so we can do like single-sided stake in all of that stuff, right? On the other side, which is much more important for me, I think, you know, I'm always observing subjectively. So from my own perspective, I think what is much more important is unlocking the liquidity. So deepening the liquidity of the whole ecosystem, right? So if we If we provide our Shimmer token, right, to the Virtue platform, I'm not sure how knowledgeable the community is about it. It's a fork of Liquity. So basically, we can just provide Shimmer tokens, lock it in the protocol, and get back the stable coin back, so we can use it, you know, to do whatever you want. You know, there is many possibilities with these stable coins, right? So you can buy Shimmer, you can go long on Shimmer, you can buy some other, you know, more degen stuff, some shit coins or whatever comes up, you know, from the whole Shimmer ecosystems. But you know, it unlocks a lot of possibilities, which all come by increasing the liquidity of the whole system. So we are basically participating in creating bigger ecosystem with the whole economy that it holds itself, right? So that's what we want to achieve with the treasury as well. We want to, you know, participate in this early economy of the Shimmer. And of course, by being early in DeFi, you can always earn some yield. So that's the whole idea in this partnership, right?
Alpha with the alpha. Thank you. That made more sense to me, and I'm pretty stupid. So I think that's great. I have one question. I guess maybe you don't want to talk about it, but I don't know why you wouldn't. The treasury, you know, these decisions that you might make with the treasury, are those beholden on to just a few people, the owners of the NFT, the ApeDAO NFT? Or is it public information, I guess, is basically what I'm getting at?
Yeah. So what I mean about the specific transactions and investment, we try to keep this in-house, but basically each NFT owner has access on our Discord where we discuss all of this. So we have a private forum for when somebody has maybe some good idea that we want to do with our treasury. So it's not only a decision made by myself or a few other people, it's the decision that we can all make. That's how we set up the governance and everything, right? So anyone can come up with idea if the idea is good. So we have like committees that can take all of these ideas, you know, and then we discuss all of this with like a group. All of the experienced guys have, you know, better insights in all of the apps and everything. So we all present the information, and then if we all agree, we make a vote. You know, hopefully soon we will have the EVM as well, so we can transfer to the snapshot system. We already had it. We brought it to the testnet, the first testnet at least. I'm not sure if it's working on the second one. So, you know, we try to keep the whole process open, but closed enough so we don't reveal our entry points. I mean, it's not like we have a big treasury, but still we don't want to allow any chance to front run us in our decision, right?
Okay. Yeah, no, yeah, interesting. And that brings up, that's actually a great segue to the next topic. But I do just want to say real quick, I went to Sooniverse. I tried to buy, I wanted to buy an ApeDAO, an OG Ape. The floor is 7,500 MIOTA right now, which is about like $800. So congratulations. I'm priced out right now, but I want to get one really badly. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add to that. It was the floor price of the apes doesn't have any kind of it's mostly degen play because the supply is very small, so it's only 1,074 pieces of OG apes. So when the EVM starts, we already have built our DEP. Shout out to the community devs, which are doing everything, you know, everything that is done by the ApeDAO was done for free by their contributors. So nobody is taking any money from the treasury for anything there. So shout out to all the builders from ApeDAO. What I wanted to say, once the EVM is live, we will deploy our application, and we are starting to transition our governance. So we will basically allow the mechanic to go from the OG ape into little apes. So they should be 5 times cheaper and allow for, you know, a bigger amount of like smaller quote unquote shares of the DAO. So, you know, it was never our idea to pump up the prices this high.
Of course.
Because I think I said it like 100 times in our Discord that, you know, the floor price of the NFT, it's not really related to anything that we do. So it was never the idea to get to these prices. But what can I do? You know, I'm just a single guy and Degens went in. So sorry about the prices. But yeah, soon maybe it will be more affordable to become a part of the community. And yeah,
right,
that's about it.
Of course. And my comment wasn't anything, of course, against it. It was, in fact, you know, like, congratulations on, you know, finding these holders that really do believe in what ApeDAO is doing. I think it's great. And I'm really happy to hear that there's going to be some little OGs, because I want an ape, man. I want an ape.
soon, sir.
but so kind of like, kind of segueing that, what you're talking about with the treasury into, you know, there's a little bit that's going on, not behind the scenes, but you got to be a part of something, to this. This next topic is, about Sooniverse. Sooniverse put out a tweet the other day. They are now open source. And now there is a huge amount of information about the origins of Sooniverse, how they got to this point, and what they plan to do in the future. So I'm going to link the Medium article up above this tweet. But to start out this topic, whilst I do that, we are all fans of open source protocols, right? Is there anybody on the panel or in the chat that is an open source hater? I hope not. But maybe I'll throw it to Dracula real quick. Open source, we love it, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a you know, that's a huge part of just like the origins of crypto. You know, sharing information. Sharing builds of things. And Sooniverse obviously has like a lot of things going on. So for them to kind of make everything open source, I think that's, you know, it's like a cool thing to do, especially with the network, you know, still on testnet. You know, it gives people the opportunity to play around, build new things, you know, build things on top. So very cool. I'm definitely going to look into it more as well, just to see what they're offering there. But it's a great move.
Yeah,
I'll just jump in real quick. You know, it's not just you know, I think sometimes the naysayers will say like, oh, if you open source your products, then there's no revenue. But you know, I think Sooniverse started as sort of a test to see if, hey, you know, can they build on layer one? Can they build not necessarily an NFT marketplace, but can they build an infrastructure on layer one Shimmer? And they did it and they showed it. And, you know, they've now open sourced that so anyone can build their NFT marketplace, because there's a lot of as we know, like there's a lot of projects out there that the NFT is not a picture. You know, the NFT is maybe to denote that you've signed up with a group, or a lot of more business related operations versus, you know, to have your NFT next to like a zombie ape or something. So, and I think that's great, because now when they open source this, people can basically create their own front end. You know, they can use this. They could use this. If this NFT, I know IOTA Origins is doing it for like, I believe some resources in Africa. So like, if you want to know that a diamond wasn't a blood diamond, hey, there's an NFT with it, you know? So moving from the artistic degen side to more of a mainstream side. And then, you know, it was explained to me that, you know, once Sooniverse has kind of shown, hey, okay, this stuff works, they now are moving to their build 5 aspect. So anyone that holds Soon tokens is going to have build 5 tokens. And that's like David Sonstable invested $1 million with Spice 5, who are all original founders of build 5. And they're really focusing on the opposite from DGen and straight like corporate adoption. But you look at Red Hat, which basically is a software company, and they make $3.4 billion a year, you know, in revenue, or that was, I'm just looking at one, you know, stat from 2018, and they have 19,000 employees. And I believe one of their representatives are a advisor in Build 5, along with Cisco and I think someone from IBM. So it's like, you know, and I like to say the Elon Musk aspect, you know, like he made, you know, he basically brought electric vehicles when at the time when he was bringing them into the market, people were like, no way, this is never going to happen. And, you know, no one's going to go from charging station to charging station. It's just people had tried and they were beat down. Why did the people fail before? Is because he was right. You know, they were right. There were no charging stations. So what did Elon Musk do? He open sourced the charging station data. So rather than trying to keep that segregated and protected, other people started building charging stations, and then they got a little income from that. Meanwhile, you know, Tesla provides the electric vehicle. So, and I think we're starting to see this, that, you know, open sources just explodes the ecosystem so much. And then those individuals, like someone like Red Hat, like they have, I believe they have tons of products and training and service kind of providers that, you know, hey, do you need support in building your application on Linux open source? Okay, in comes Red Hat and such. So I would love to see that, and I hope it happens, because then, you know, at least that's my ideology of crypto, is just that everyone has the power. The power isn't centralized into like Facebook or Google or, you know, medical companies that literally buy cures to certain cancers, and then they hide them because it would infringe the profits on their other drug that they currently have that has a patent for another 3 years or whatever. So yeah, I'm a huge proponent of open source, but I think the idea that someone can't be profitable is totally out the door. And I suggest just look at Red Hat, you know, because that ultimately is, in a way, what Soon Labs and Build 5 is building from that aspect. And I think we're going to see a lot of that more with the more IOTA mainnet kind of scaled up corporate applications that come into play on the network.
I agree completely. And I think your comment about open source allows protocols to explode sort of highlights a certain point in the Medium article that I did share above. It took me a while, but I did it. It used to be called the Nest up there at the top. I don't know now that it's called X and not Twitter. I can't imagine it's called a Nest anymore because Twitter bird. Anyways, but there's a big portion of the Medium article that is about contributions to Sooniverse's GitHub, which I'm a huge fan of. So, you know, for all you devs out there, Sooniverse has a GitHub, you know, contribution guide, which pays out in Soon tokens, it looks like. And I love this. It incentivizes development, and that always gets my brain rock hard. You know, like Bandaloff, Dracula, open source, incentivizing development. How crucial is that to blockchain? Bandaloff, why don't you go ahead, and then Dracula, I'd love to hear your answer before I go to Austin.
Well, you know, my take on it, like, I think it's great. I think since the beginning of blockchain, you know, at least since I've been involved in it, this is like kind of the direction that everyone wants to go. I mean, you're trying to create an open alternative to financial markets that, you know, aren't fair to everybody. The one thing that over the years that I'll play devil's advocate a little bit here, but I've kind of shifted my perspective on like the open source decentralization idea or ideas just slightly, because I feel that it's like a spectrum. And for me, I think there's a certain point when open source or being open source is great. But I think in the foundational stages, it's probably best to be a little bit more closed off. And I think, you know, Soon Labs is a pretty solid example of this. I mean, they did not necessarily do this, or they've been in production or, you know, live for I don't know how many years, but for an extended period of time. And they are deciding at a certain stage that now it's time to be open source. And I think that that's kind of the right way to go. And the reason that I kind of feel this way is because when it comes down to it, like you look at all the DAO, a lot of DAO structures that have, you know, tried to come and go, whether it's these more technological things, or even there was one that was trying to purchase like a golf course or golf courses around the world. I think it's called Lynx DAO. And, you know, just thinking back to these sorts of projects, I think that if there was a couple of, or if there was a little bit more time where the decision makers were more knowledgeable on whatever topic they were dealing with, and then at a later point in time when, you know, they were more ready to just, I guess, gain the feedback and distribute the voting power to like its users and its holders, like that makes a lot of sense. But for me, I personally think that, you know, we want to be as decentralized as possible. And what I mean by that is we want to keep or make sure that the decision makers are knowledgeable about the space enough to the point where they're not going to, you know, do detrimental things to whatever product or protocol they're working on. So I do think decentralization is extremely important. I think being open source is very great, but I think that it has to come at a stage when, you know, it's whatever tech or whatever, you know, you're delivering is ready to be open sourced.
That's phenomenal, Bandaloff. I really like that take. And I do want to throw it to Austin Blockbytes real quick, my dad. Quick question for you, sir. So we've been talking about Suna versus open source now. You know, open source on blockchain and Web3 is not unique. It's standard. Now, the question I have for you, Austin, is open source a necessity for blockchain? Do we need it? Go ahead.
Interesting question. Can you guys hear me? I had to hop in my truck. I apologize. Am I coming through?
You sound great.
Great. All right. So I don't know how many people are going to remember this, but there was a guy in the Phantom ecosystem about a year ago who had a fairly large project that was getting forked all the time. It must have gotten forked 50 times, right? And all of a sudden he came out and said, if you try and fork our code, now this was under an MIT license, which makes it open source. If you try and fork our code, we're going to sue you, which was the irony was like, it would drop kick you in the face with a pair of boots because his code was forked. It wasn't proprietary. He forked it from Basis Cash. The original devs redeployed it and then he took it over. But my point in saying that is this, and I want to echo Bandaloff's sentiments. For DeFi specifically to move forward, right? If you look at Compound and you look at Aave and then you look at further iterations on those, right? With health meters and, you know, just different things that have been built in. If those had not been open sourced at the point that they were ready to be, right? Not pre-product, but at the point to where the finished product was on the market, then we wouldn't have further iterations on those. And so I think for like the DeFi ecosystem to truly grow, we've got to have open source. Also, if we didn't have open source code, guess what? We wouldn't have any alternate layer one networks unless we had developers willing to build from scratch. And the amount of developers we have willing to build from scratch is about 1 to every 100 that's willing to fork. Like it's the difference is night and day. It costs just a ton more man hours. It costs a ton more money. And so, you know, kind of and I don't necessarily think open sourcing and, I mean, kind of it goes hand in hand with decentralization, but like really it's just a matter of if you produce a good product, take it as far as you can take that product and then turn it loose. And the reason you turn it loose is not necessarily for your own bottom line. You turn it loose for the good of the industry that you're building in. So that's my answer. Yes, it's very important for the growth of DeFi, for the growth of cryptocurrency that we have open source code. it's not 100% necessary in all cases, but I think, you know, I think for everyone that is closed source, I think a lot of people in crypto have kind of come to the belief and understanding that you're going to get a safer, more vetted, more secure product if the code is fully open sourced and allowed to be vetted.
Perfect.
Well, I want to add something. So what's interesting about the, like, a lot of the original protocols or the original dApps from, like, the beginning of DeFi, like Uniswap or, like, Uniswap to GMX or Compound and Aave, while there's a lot of different forks on different networks and whatnot, what's been kind of cool to see is that the original project or the original product that is actually forked many times over, they still all tend to be the leaders in the space, which I think is it's pretty fascinating, because what it looks like to me is that all these teams are, you know, iterating and iterating, trying to figure out what is actually beneficial that they can add on to these original innovations or projects that actually has some product market fit. And what's crazy is it seems like, I mean, while there are like different attributes that some applications offer and, you know, maybe a small sect of people decide that, oh, this is the platform for me. It's, to me, it's like kind of mind blowing that the main projects or the original projects still kind of hold the weight and are the leaders in the space.
Absolutely. 100% agree. I love both Austin's answers. The old yes and no answer. I think it's perfect. Austin Blockbytes, I think you have to leave soon, right? Would you like to say goodbye to all these beautiful people and plug anything?
I do. I've got to go. I have no plugs except for DeFi Tuesday tomorrow. Hop on DeFi Tuesday. Check it out. It's coming, guys. Hang tight. Don't get shaken out of your position. Shimmer is going to blow minds. Don't miss the ride. I'll catch y'all later.
Thank you, Austin. That's my dad. The last topic I have today, before we open it up to, you know, I'd love for people in the audience to come up and talk to us. I don't know why you do. Don't be scared of me. I'm very short. I'm a very short person. You shouldn't be scared of me. But the last topic that I wanted to talk about was actually a tweet from Alpha Rho the other day. So again, I'm glad you're here. You tweeted the other day. Oh, just one second. I'm sorry. Let me just bring it up. It's a good tweet. It's not a bad tweet. How is this not getting more attention? Get a fraction of Shimmer token for each frag you make in game. I'll put this at the top of the little chat here. But it's very interesting because, you know, like, as always, of course, you know, do your own research, and none of this is financial advice. I am certainly not a financial advisor, and I'm sure the same goes for AlphaRho as well. But here's a pretty interesting thing going on right now. It's netnemesis.io. And again, I'll put it in the, I'll share it to the chat in just a second. But basically, like, play a game to earn some Shimmer tokens. AlphaRho, I personally have not played it yet, but I've been to the website. I haven't found a Twitter or social media for them yet. But AlphaRho, did you play it? What'd you think?
Yeah. So when I shared it, there was a surge of some users. So yeah, I played a few rounds of Quake 3, but I guess I stumbled upon this message on IOTA's Discord saying that, you know, for each frag you can get some Shimmer, right? And it was quite fascinating to me because I think that's the first GameFi, or I'm not sure how to call it, project, right, that I saw on Shimmer. And it was quite wild to me that nobody was giving any kind of attention to this. So I decided, since I have a small reach with my account, to actually, you know, try to promote it a bit.
Small reach, it got almost 40,000 views.
So. Yeah, it was quite quite nice reach with that tweet. So or post. I'm not sure if it's called tweet anymore. But yeah, it was quite interesting. I did play with few, I think there was like four of us inside the arena. I suck at gaming, so I did only like three frags, but I received the shimmer. So I guess it works, right?
I'm going to try it. Obviously, you need a, I think it says on the website, you need a Firefly wallet connection. And then, of course, in your Firefly wallet, you do have to go through and claim those tokens. So if
those shimmer.
Right, the shimmer. Thank you. But, you know, it brings up, you know, like, I'd love to, I was hoping Corval would be on today because he and Mark Jeffrey talked about blockchain gaming on this past Friday's episode of Across the Chains, which is a subtle plug. But maybe let me ask Dracula, do you think Shimmer Network is primed for blockchain gaming? You know, because like I haven't, like to Alfredo's point, like I haven't seen any gaming like this on Shimmer Network. And it's just Shimmer EVM is just testnet and we're already seeing this. Or, you know, what do you think?
Blockchain? Yeah, I mean, I think that the setup of Shimmer definitely lends itself to online gaming. And I think, you know, for sure from conversations I've had, I know that, you know, they will be aggressively looking into those sort of projects. You know, obviously the feeless transactions and all that stuff, I think will be a large thing, because, you know, you see right now, like something that's kind of popular is like subnets where, you know, the gas is still, there's still fees present, but, you know, the fees end up being a lot smaller. But I do think that, you know, with the feeless transactions, that's definitely how you bring in, you know, you could bring in gaming that, you know, they might have tens of thousands of transactions a day, and they're going to see the value in, you know, operating on Shimmer. So yeah, I mean, I think, it's still very early. And I did check out their site this morning. I mean, very cool to see that, but, yeah, I think, you know, even just looking at like the bigger picture in terms of like, you know, right now, GambleFi is like a huge narrative. Right. And so even just outside of like, you know, metaverse gaming or like more like traditional gaming, you know, even looking at just things like, you know, gambling dApps, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, it's there's a lot of opportunity there that I'm sure people are going to quickly become aware of.
100%. Yeah. Go ahead, Bandaloff. Yes.
So, you know, just from the BD side, this is something like we're convinced, at least our team, that, you know, there's more verticals than just DeFi, and, you know, narrowing it down, there's more verticals than just DeFi, NFTs and Gamble, like GambleFi is another big one that we see right now. Like you see Rollbit, they're still kind of doing pretty well. Even through this like last recent like dip in the whole market, which is pretty interesting to me. But you know, what we're focused on, and I do a lot of this for the gaming side of things, we don't want to just bring on like a first generation or, you know, some sort of slight iteration of this play to earn like game type of well, just games in general to our ecosystem, because it's they end up not really doing too well. I mean, the game has to be fun to play first, and if it's fun to play, then you can add some sort of tokenomic metric to it. But I don't think that, you know, my personal take is that most games that bring their own tokens into the game itself is generally not the best way to do it.
Yeah.
I personally don't like getting involved with those. So what I'm actually looking for, and I've been in contact with a couple of like much larger game developers, and what we want to bring on is a team that actually kind of caters to gamers first, so that they can attract people from outside of crypto that are non-native, because we think that's really where, you know, you can actually pierce the bubble. Because what we're trying to do in Shimmer EVM as of right now and for the last year is bring people from other DeFi ecosystems. But in a bear market, there's only so many participants playing around in DeFi. Yield's not like, you know, existing in like surplus, then it's hard to kind of attract those people. So we do want to focus on gaming. And I think blockchain gaming is a better way to do it than GameFi, because GameFi kind of implies to me that, you know, you're bringing in this inflationary tokenomic that may reward very early users. But in the end, if you look at games from Axie Infinity, it's just like those are a little more Ponzi-nomic, like, and
it's too many blockchain alpha boys,
right,
and girls that are trying to get into gaming instead of too many. There needs to be more gaming first, right, alpha boys and girls, and thems and theys that get into blockchain and NFTs. Really quickly, Zynga, however you say it, the company behind Farmville on Facebook and Words with Friends, they are getting into Web3. We talked about that on the show on Thursday, Blockbyte's Daily Show. Now that could be something, you know, Idle. I mean, like, we all played Farmville. Who didn't play Farmville? I played Farmville. Did no one else play Farmville? Do not stand there and say you didn't play Farmville. I know you did. JD, Austin, Alpha, you guys didn't play Farmville on Facebook?
I dabbled a little bit, but that wasn't my forte.
I first did a mafia game back in the day. I can't remember what it was called. Okay. Yeah, you had to grow your mafia.
Right.
So I look forward to the GameFi. I mean, I like real estate, like real estate in real life, and a few proposals came into the treasury for GameFis, and it's just interesting the whole aspect of like on chain ownership. And you know, I look forward to getting it, but some of these where you can almost like, hey, this is your block of land, what? And you put this building, and this building has a casino in it, or the building has, you know, weapons that you sell.
Right.
And you legit make income off it. Right. I mean, it's fascinating. It's wonderful. And I do look forward to it, but I agree. It just seems in its infant stage and kind of wild, wild westish, you know, does that value stay over time? And I think that's a big question.
100%. You know, and the thing that I love to bring up the most, and I'm sure everybody in here has heard it before, you know, when it comes to gaming, on-chain, NFTs, any of those keywords, my favorite example is to use the Fortnite skins. You know, like, imagine if you owned your own Fortnite skins, right? Now, I know that there is already, like, a Web2 marketplace for that. But, you know, it's not Web3. That pretty much brings us to basically the end of the show. It's 1:12, just over an hour. I see John Steps is in here. John Steps came up last week and talked about his amazing sort of a charity that he's working on with Web3. Jeff's in here. Does anybody from the audience want to come up and hang out, talk for a second, say what you're doing, say hi, say bye, anything? If not, then I want to throw it to Alfaro and anything else you'd like to say, Alfaro, before we head out today.
$4 EOY.
All right.
Yes. That's pretty much it.
All right. I am here for that. I am definitely here for that. All right. So while I wait for anybody else in the audience to raise their hand, use the emoji if you want to come speak. While we wait, JD, Austin, after that, any last plugs?
Time is coming. I just, you know, I'm just waiting for EVM to launch and ready to have some fun. So, you know, I think Europe takes all these freaking breaks. I don't understand it. You know, like, Americans actually like to work. And that's what I hear when I talk to Europeans is you know, all the devs are on vacation. Like, we got some stuff to build. What's going on here? But I think summer holiday in Europe, one of their
holidays. We're always on a holiday.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, man, we're just slaves here in America. But they're going to be over soon. So I think the builders are coming back and they're refreshed and, you know, they're ready to make shit happen.
All right. Thanks, JD. Yeah. Bandaloff, go ahead, buddy.
No, just a second that I think, you know, I got back today from my vacation. I generally don't like, I mean, you know, we work remotely because I'm in the U.S. and pretty much everyone else is in Europe over there. So, you know, I had my first long vacation in a long time, and I think I got back today and so did a bunch of other people. So I'm hoping that, you know, like JG says, like the devs are refreshed and ready to go. But yeah, like Austin said when he left, stick it out, you know, it's right around the corner. We always say it, but this is kind of that last push because we just need people to test and you know, do what they can to honestly, like, bring out every issue that exists. And, you know, once we're here, we're going to be launching with a fleet of projects and a very large community. So it'll be great to see.
That's right, Austin. Built in, man. DeFi's built in. It's baked in. So let's just keep doing this stuff. I'd like to thank Alpha Row. Thank you so much for coming on, dude. It was so good to hear from you again. Much love to you and the IOTA Apes project, Alpha Ape DAO, and Shimmer C as well. JD with Touchpoint, JD with the Tangle Treasury, Austin Bandaloff with Touchpoint. Thank you guys so much for coming on again. Shout out to John Steps. Much love to you, buddy. Jeff. Love you too, man. Wish you would have come on. Maybe next week. Everybody else listening, thank you all so much. This is another great rendition of the Shimmer X community space. That's all I got.